once took an evening class about American fiction. And in the class, each student was assigned a novel to read and then to kind of explain it to the class. Basically, kind of a college-level book report. I was happy that I did not get assigned a Faulkner novel, but one of the other students did, and God bless her heart. She came to class that night and said, "Dr. Daniels, I read this book. I promise you I read it, and I don't have a clue what it's about." And the professor said, "Did you start at the beginning?" And the student said, "Well, yeah." And she said, "That's why it was so hard. You need to start in the middle. What happens in the middle of the story clarifies everything that is in the beginning. If you start it at the beginning, you won't get it." It was one of those revelations to me that this particular Faulkner novel, and many others, they're not always a front-to-back book. I believe that the story of God is much more easily understood by starting in the middle. I think if we start with the baptism of Jesus, the middle of the story of God's self-revelation, all that has gone before is clarified and redeemed. The gospel today says Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." In this moment, with this voice speaking at Jesus' baptism, we have sort of a divine acknowledgement that this man being baptized is the enacted intentions of God. This is God's will come to life in a human being. What seemed incomplete to us, even confusing in older stories of God, now becomes available to our human hearts and minds and souls because we see it incarnate in a human being, at least to some degree, like us. The story of Jesus' baptism is a way of underlining his incarnation, of emphasizing his inculcation by the Holy Spirit, that inspiration into human beings that happened at his baptism and it happens at ours. When we are baptized with Jesus, our own agendas change into God's agenda. And that agenda, I believe, is to redeem the world through love of God and neighbor. One of the commentaries on this passage says, when water is used as a symbol of rebirth, people enter the water as one thing, slaves or wanderers in most stories, and emerge as something entirely different. There is in this story, and in the story of every person's baptism, the creation of something new. If you look at the reading in Matthew about Jesus' baptism, in some ways it sounds like the beginning of Genesis. The Spirit of God once again hovers over the waters, and the Logos, the Word of God, speaks. Genesis describes God's bringing order to chaos through his Word. And Matthew begins describing the taming of the chaos of each person's sins through the Word of God. Now, Jesus is given the Holy Spirit, as we are, not for each of our benefit, but so that he could show us what the Spirit looks like in human flesh, so that we could imitate. And then, to me, all of the story begins to make sense by starting in the middle. All of the story, the creation, the law, the prophets, all of it takes shape in Jesus, and we see, looking back, how this incarnation in Jesus explains the beginning. Our Old Testament reading today is one of the prophets. It's from Isaiah. And the prophets, and basically all of the old stories, and the stories that contain visions, have a certain challenge. How can we look at the world as it is? As one writer says, to a people, a people demoralized by war, captivity, devastation, and exile, as they were, cut off from their sacred stories and traditions, how can you inspire those people? How can you give hope to those people? How can you explain what has gone before, what God wants of us, and what God offers us? A loving, forgiving heart in every human being. That is what God is after. It may not be clear in the beginning. It may not be clear in the stories of the Old Testament, but it begins to become clear in the life of Jesus. We have many stories in our tradition, and at least to me, many of them are extremely confusing. They are conflicting. The ones I think that I like the best in terms of the stories are the visions. The visions that the prophets have of what God's world will be like. The vision in Revelation, as weird and scary as that book is, there is a vision given to us of a new heaven and a new earth. And that vision is given to us not so that we want to become part of the city, that we want to be part of the in crowd. It's not given to us so that we can forget this life we have and move into something different. That vision is given to us so that we will work in this world to bring glimpses of God's glory into the present. If you look at the book of Revelation, the portion about the great city descends to take its place on earth. It isn't the other way around, that the cities of human beings are carried up into heaven. It's just the opposite. And in this great holy city, there is no temple. There doesn't need to be a temple, because the whole city is a temple. Every human being is a temple. That tells us what the end of the story is supposed to look like. We, as human beings following God, are to form a bridge between the present and these future visions. We are the ones charged with bringing the great city of God to the earth. The story is not clear when it opens in the beginning with God's creation of the world. The story, all of it, becomes manifest in Jesus, in his obedience, his incarnation. And the story further takes shape in each of us. When we follow God. Each person becomes a temple capable of fuller revelation of God. As when the Spirit of God hovered in Genesis to create, the Spirit hovers over each of us in our baptism to recreate us in God's image. The story, when we begin in the middle, at Jesus' baptism, now fits together. The middle and the end clarify and redeem all that went before. It shows us what God's truth is, and it shows us what our error has been in interpreting that truth. It makes everything make sense. So God's story, like many human stories, isn't best told as a plain old front-to-back book.